right, welcome to Endpoint Side, Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate, send the fundage, make your check or money order payable to RBN. Send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in that debit or credit to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Make a recurring payment, $5-$10 a month. If 1,000 of you did that, we would be well in the black. This is your Thursday night broadcast where we have my co-host tonight, the Red Pillar, the heavyweight.
I must break you.
Weighing in well over 240 pounds, standing well over 6'4", we have the host of the Punch Bowl on Friday night, RBN, William Rackillum. William, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you doing?
Jeremy, doing well. How are you? It's good to be back with you again on Thursday. My favorite night for the whole week.
It's the Friday night of RBN for us. You have two Friday nights, man. That's got to be awesome.
No, it's not. It's pretty awesome to have it tonight. Tomorrow night, I'll make the best of it.
The whole thing started with, you know, I was trying to go out on Friday nights and didn't have time to do the show, so you graciously took that slot. And, you know, you turned it into a great broadcast, so I hope that it's working out well, and I hope that the audience enjoys it.
Yeah, I actually had something I wanted to do last Friday, so I got a sub.
Well, it happens.
Yeah, it happens. It does happen. Yeah, it was a concert. I won't say who it was, but it was a very spontaneous thing, and I couldn't say no to free tickets. So
right.
I had a friend very graciously bought myself and my girlfriend tickets, so that was cool. We went out for pizza last night. Oh, go ahead. I'll get to the story, but don't let me forget to tell you about the going out for pizza and then the guy sitting next to me, or one of the guys. You know, I mean, it's a white guy, shaved head, bald head, blue eyes. You know, I mean. Just it's another like guy that you would think would be aware of. I mean, you would think not use stupid canards like conspiracy theorists. But oh yeah, they were talking about the bridge, and he was talking about the conspiracy theorists think this blah blah blah. I wanted to punch this guy in the face, man. And it was a good thing that she was there because I bit my tongue and didn't make a scene because I didn't want to have a scene that I don't want to have an unpleasant situation, but this idiot. I mean, I would have just made this guy look like such the idiot that he was. He had two other people there he was talking to, but I do not care. I'm going to talk to people. If I were by myself, I would have asked him, "Hey, what were the conspiracy theorists saying?" Then I would have, and I would have told him. I would have thrown him so many things he wouldn't know what to do with it. He would have just been so. I just think back on it. It just makes me sick. This is how stupid people are, you know?
Yeah, it is a rather odd thing. That's part of our prep to, you know, the crash in Baltimore. So I've got this on one of the Stormer articles I sent, the boat path of the crashed container ship makes you wonder how they all don't crash. From Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter, Matt Bracken writes, "This is a major infrastructure hit. This port in Baltimore is the major port serving Baltimore and Washington, D.C. All of the shipping north of the bridge is now trapped in place. No other shipping can get in. The tunnel shown has height and hazardous cargo restrictions. It can't take the heavy trucking traffic that used the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which took years to build back in the 70s. So this is a major stoppage of shipping coming into this area.
Oh boy.
And it kind of reminds me of the reports that we've heard since COVID, since 2020, of, remember we would hear various meat facilities that ship meat out globally, you know, were hit and blown up. They were targeted. So this whole thing is very, very shady. I don't really have a take on it at this point, but it seems like it was done on purpose. That's what I'm going to say about it. Do you have a particular take on this thing?
Well, everybody go make your own decision. They, you know, one really important thing to understand, like in the, for the backstory, is that they have this Wildlands project, UN Agenda 21-2030, and they need to destroy the existing infrastructure. Remember, they got to build back better. We already know that. So in order to build back better, they need a crisis. They need to destroy it. But specifically, they are going to allow the infrastructure to fail. Like, you know, one, I remember Deborah Tavares talking about this in 2018, that they are letting critical infrastructure fail. You know, Rothschild owning all of the public utility systems. I haven't got confirmation on, who owns and controls ports and bridges and whatnot, right? That's like port authority, but, you know, they, I'm sure, control all of that too. Well, so, yeah, I mean, it was really interesting to read this this story. This ship veers off. Oh, the loss of power suddenly. This never happened, okay? This is just like a non-thing. You know, this is not... So just on its face, without knowing that they're already planning to let, you know, reservoirs, you know, that have lakes in them because of the Wildlands project, they're planning to let all of the dams and fail, right? If I'm wrong, call in and tell me which dam they've actually rebuilt or fixed. I mean, they'll patch things up, but they won't ever invest money into building new critical infrastructure projects, unless those are smart infrastructure projects. Obviously, infrastructure projects that include all of the smart devices and things, right? So, but what I'm really thinking about is the dams and the reservoirs, all the dammed up lakes and, you know, water supply and stuff. They're going to let that go back to the Wildlands, which on its face sounds, oh, it's so wonderful. You're going to let everything go back to nature. Well, these are going to be the areas that we won't have access to. We goyim won't have access to anymore. And then the electric smart cars won't drive us to them. You know, one of the things, another thing I saw today, I went into one of these smart apartment complexes, and it says that anybody who comes in here and wants to do a tour has to go through the, I forgot the name of the verification, identity verification process, which is like some, like We Verify or, I forgot what it was called. Just one of those. And it just makes you angry, you know, to think. And then when the person who comes out, like, it was very interesting because I went in and I asked, my first question was, you know, hey, can I park in this spot? I'm helping this person move. Can I park in this spot, this future resident? And it was a black woman, and she was getting ready to leave, and she was really cool, like, oh yeah, you know what, don't worry about it, you're fine. And then I went back in, I had to ask for something else, like a totally different unrelated thing. But I went in, and then the white lady came out, and I feel especially angry when I see white people working and keep giving into this, because obviously they've given into this. If they work for a company that is pushing this crap on us, this identity verification, this just like over the top identity verification on like everything. You just want to go tour an apartment, you have to be identity verified. We all know that that's all part of the whole track and trace and, you know, controlling everything you do. That song, Richmond, North of Richmond, that's a really great song talking about that. Want to control what you do, everything you say, what you do, what you think. I don't mean to veer off topic here, but I think it's just really important to have a bird's eye view of what they're everything that they're putting in place right now, and then you can make your decision for yourself. For me personally, absolutely, this was no accident. This was a deliberate destruction of the critical infrastructure, because that's what they're trying to do. And then it's not an external. It's not external. If it is, they can. I mean, it's anyone's guess who did it, right? I mean, this is what the article is saying. At this point, because we pissed off so many different people, it could be Islamic terrorists. At this point, it could be really actually be Islamic terrorists, right? And that are like, my God, it's the U.S. is just never going to stop supporting this terrorist, satanic terrorist state of Israel. But I just, if something is organized and planned in such a way, it's definitely not going to be by people that don't already know what they're doing and don't already know who's doing what and whatnot. So I don't see the Islamic terrorists as really wanting to punish the American people themselves and starve us of food. That's what the Jews want to do. So, you know, and I don't see Russia wanting to do that either to us, to punish us, because they know that it's the Jews too. I mean, they know. That's what I'd say it was the Jews, dude. Jews.
You know, since 2020, the COVID debacle of 2020, I mean, we've had this infrastructure put in place where you have to put something in your body to be able to participate in society. And it would not be beyond the pale to say that they're that they could destroy infrastructures and rebuild them, you know, perhaps in order to get your shipping goods, you know, you have to have something scanned in your body. That would be feasible. This all in conjunction with the train derailments. You know, you had in Palestine, the train derailment there that spilled chemicals all over the place, and we don't hear about that anymore. But, yeah, letting the infrastructure fail. So on the one hand, you could say, well, diversity hires, and you know, all the Boeing failures and all that in conjunction with this. This is just this is what you can expect from diversity hires. So there is that. But, you know, are the diversity, of course, the diversity hires are happening as a plan. I mean, that is a thing. The people that hire these brown people and women, they know that they're not going to be able to maintain these airplanes, maintain these infrastructures, you know, maintain these shipping routes. They know that it's not going to happen. They know they can't maintain these trains that are carrying dangerous chemicals. And so there's a point where you could say, well, they're hiring diversity because, you know, they know the outcome of that. And that's part of the plan to make it fail. So you could say that. But it is very interesting that this ship that crashed in Baltimore, that the power went out just before it hit the pylon. That's very weird. That's very odd. So, yeah, again, there's something there. From the path, if you look at the path of the ship, if the power had gone off at any other time, the ship wouldn't have hit the bridge. It was a specific time and place where the power went out so that the ship hit. So there's that. Again, I'm not coming out totally saying that I know what happened here. I'm just saying that this is very, very shifty. This is very sketch. And it does play into the fact that America is letting its infrastructures fail for a purpose. At the same time that, you know, the American empire is not recognized in the global community as a serious empire anymore. I mean, it's, you know, the Russian sanctions failed. The dollar is collapsing. And that's major because all of these Middle Eastern countries who, up until a couple of years ago, they had to trade oil in American dollars. Now they're trading in, you know, yuan, Chinese currency, or the Russian ruble. And so there's no longer a threat of, you know, the American empire invading you if you don't trade oil in their dollars. So what's this going to mean to us? What will it mean for us? Well, you can talk about inflation. You can talk about all that, but at the end of the day, the economy is trading of goods and services. That's what it is. And since all of our production is outside of the U.S., if China all of a sudden decided, well, a microchip, I'm just going to use some numbers here. I don't know if these numbers are correct. Let's say it costs $1 to produce a microchip. Okay. And let's say that China's like, well, you know what? That microchip's going to cost you $10. So now you can multiply 10 times anything that has a microchip in it. Plastic molds, it's going to cost you 10 times more than what it did. So a $300 laptop at Walmart could and you know possibly cost 10 times that. That could be a $3,000 laptop. So the average person making $15 an hour in the U.S., you know, they could afford to take $300 and buy a laptop or buy some sort of product like that at Walmart. But if the American dollars is done and all of our everything that we, you know, import from overseas is 10 times the cost, you're talking about you're going to need to make $1,500 an hour to live rather than 15. That's the break up on the other side.
Likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth and a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it. And how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get. And you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Okay, we're back. back to the William and Jeremy show. You know, we started with this article on the Baltimore Bridge debacle, and I went up on a little bit of a tangent, but let me just refine my point and put a fine tip on it. The point is that with the dollar collapsing, you know, Arab countries no longer having to use the dollar to trade oil, you could see America in a situation where everyday things that we buy, cell phones, laptops, even food, are going to, you know, cost 10 times more because we no longer produce things in the U.S. This is no longer a country that produces its own goods, and we rely heavily on imports. And the countries that import these in could very easily say, well, you know, what you normally would cost you a dollar to produce is going to cost you $10. So you could see very easily everyday goods like laptops, phones, food, your electricity cost, everything could multiply times 10. That could be a very real situation. And I would argue that along with this Baltimore Bridge collapse, that this is all planned. This is all planned in the deconstruction of the West and the shift to Eurasia being a global power. And these CEOs, they don't care about America. They don't care. It's a global economy. They'll very gladly watch the collapse of the West and put their money into what's shifting over to Eurasia. That was the point that I'm making. Let me kick it to you, William. You had something you wanted to bring up. You had an anecdote.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, again, back to the guy that is like the conspiracy theorists were saying, and that's just intolerable. You know, when we run into people like that, we've got to stop them and ask them, hey, what are you saying is a conspiracy theory? And then we pretty much have to correct them. You know, it's, and, or at least, you know, but you give them the right questions. Obviously, you know, I wanted to punch this guy in the face, but obviously you have to be tactful and you have to be creative and you have to be smarter than them, because obviously this guy's a moron, a total moron, thinks he's smart. And like I said, what I think is going to happen is, yeah, inflation is going to adjust for these Department of Defense jobs, for these jobs that the people have that they are, you know, helping the system along with it, because they don't want those folks to revolt. They don't want those folks. They want those folks to be part of the snitch class, right? Did you hear about the bill? I didn't get the specifics, but the bill in Canada bill, and I don't know how recent it was because I was looking for it, but that pays the people $20,000 to become part of the snitch class. And I'm obviously going off on a tangent here, but $20,000 if you snitch on, you can anonymously snitch on your neighbor or whoever. And I guess if it leads to an arrest of a, you know, political dissident, then they get their $20,000, right? So they're really incentivizing people to be disgusting little snitches.
Hmm. You know? Well, we know that in Canada, you don't have, you know, Canada, much like the EU, you can be put in jail for questioning things like the Holocaust. And speaking out on Jewish power. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me. But I guess the point that I'm making is that when you talk about, like, inflation and what does that look like, what that looks like is the U.S. can no longer produce goods. It relies on imports. And so if these imports are all of a sudden 10 times more expensive, then the person that makes $15 an hour to live, to be able to live and buy, you know, electricity and, you know, cell phones and laptops, this person would need to make $150 an hour to live. And that could very well be a thing. And this is all in the controlled demolition of the West. I think that's a thing. Yes. That's happening.
Right.
And you know, they're blaming it on diversity hires, but like, what do they expect? What do you expect when you put women and brown people, you know, in charge of Boeing, inspecting planes and air traffic control, and even in this situation of the Baltimore Bridge collapse, which is probably more nefarious than that. I'm giving, you know, I'm giving a lot of leeway there, but yeah. We're coming up rapidly on the last on the half hour break when we got a call.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Go with the call.
Yeah, so we're coming up on the break. So after the break, we'll bring on Dana Washington and bring.
Okay, let me make my last point real quick. Awesome.
Yeah, I'll kick it to you.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our EaseOff is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the EaseOff installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com. That's EaseOff.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org. Smash that donate button. Like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say. Yeah, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these five easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your five easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our five easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Hey, do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the ones in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, or fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you'll see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Check us out at SusannahSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Curtain Show. I was just defining my point, putting a fine tip on my point that this is evidence of the controlled demolition of the West. These Boeing airplane failures, this Baltimore debacle, diversity hires, shipping since COVID, you've had a lot of supply line disruptions, and you could very easily see yourself in America, since this country is totally reliant on imports to survive. If these foreign countries decided that, the product that you're importing is going to cost $10 more than what it did in the past, the average person making $15 an hour would need to make $150 an hour in order to live. That's the scenario that we could very easily be seeing. And I think this is by design. William, we've got Dan in Washington holding, but you had a point to make before we bring Dan on.
Yeah, the only point I wanted to make is that the government's going to take care of their minions for the time being. They're going to reward, right? The reward system. Rewarding. It's kind of like when you use your rewards card and you get your rewards back, right? You're being tracked and traced. So that's all part of the conditioning. Now, there's this ID Verify, which is know your next renter, right? If you go to their website, 365 Connect Solutions, ID Verification. And this is for, ID verification for apartment leasing and tours. Right? So these companies with all these giant apartment complexes are trying to push them into. They're all owned by the same people, and they all have the same rules, and they all use the same identity verification. If they have different ones, they're just different brands, and they're all still owned by the same people. But, as this is the kind of language it uses. No matter how your local community appears, it operates inside a global marketplace. As today's renters converge from across the world. Oh, of course, yeah, mass immigration. Enhance your long-term asset while you reduce lost revenue with our AI-powered identity verification platform. Immediately verify potential renters inside the application, no matter where they are coming from. So it's like automate, eliminate, convert, reduce the risk of revenue by detecting instant identity discrepancies that are found. Oh, hey, social credit scores that aren't quite right. Oh, you don't even get to look at the apartment, right? Or maybe you're a dissident who says that, who points out the things we point out, right? So that you can't even look at an apartment, and you'll never know why, right? Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but you didn't pass the identity verification. You must go now, or you're going to be arrested by a bot, or some drone is going to show up and arrest you, robot dog. Anyway. Pick it back to you.
So on the one hand, you have American citizens, predominantly white working class people, who are being scrutinized under the system, but yet they're bringing in hordes of illegals that are just given debit cards and rooms in 5-star hotels to live in American cities. You've got this going on at the same time. It's very nefarious.
Right, and the person that looks up each person that gets identity verified just looks for pass or fail, right? There's nothing that's going to come up and says what any details are. So the migrant will probably not even be put through anything like that. They'll just be going to give carte blanche. But we, if you're white, you're going to get put through some kind of a checker. Go ahead.
That's exactly what I was pointing at. Let's bring on Dan in Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. It was kind of about last night's topic, but you were saying that the sexual revolution led to the downfall. But my take on it is basically World War One and then World War Two. And I've been listening to Tragedy and Hope with Carol Quigley, written by Carol Quigley, and basically, they talk about World War One being the end of Western civilization as they knew it. And then after World War Two, we're basically living in, Zog, as they say. So being constantly at war, I think, is more unchristian than the sexual revolution, is my theory. You'd have to have a period of peace between white Christian countries for a long time, and then you could work on the family, you know, sexual revolution kind of stuff. But what do you think about that? I mean, like, when we're constantly at war, isn't that a greater sin than having sex?
Let me take this. So, Dan, let me play devil's advocate, but on your side. And World War One being the plan that the Jews had at that time was to destroy Christian Europe and get rid of all the monarchs, get rid of all the representatives of any kind of Christian identity that Europe had, and replace it with this Jewish communist thing called democracy, which is just Jewish communism. Democracy, okay? It's not what we've been told that it is. It's Jewish tyranny is what democracy is. So, yeah, so World War One was really, that was what happened in World War One. So that's a good point. Now, I would say feminism began around the same time as World War One. The women's suffrage.
That was a Jewish thing, too. I mean, the women's suffrage, you could say that was a Christian thing as far as, like, the right to vote or whatever, but as far as, like, all the crap in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, that was all Jewish engineered to get women not to be moms and ruin the family and all that kind of stuff. But we wouldn't have had that if we wouldn't have had World War One and Two and had the Jews in charge, you know? So,
right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can reference a lot of places to say, you know, something kind of started here or whatever. And, another point. That's, go ahead, Jeremy. What do you think?
Well, from a political point of view, World War One was all about the British Empire destroying the Ottoman Empire and, taking charge of the Middle Eastern countries. That's what World War One was about. And that's why the British, the Rothschilds that controlled the British government at that time, that's why they had the power to give Israel Palestine in the Balfour Declaration. And then you had a social change going on in the Weimar Republic. The Weimar Republic, with its, you know, trannyism and, you know, pro-homo, pedophile type things going on there in the Weimar, that was a dry run for the sexual revolution in the 60s. In America, and I would argue even in Europe, because that was all going on there. So, yeah, definitely World Wars One and Two, where the British Empire, controlled by Jews, was implementing a social and political change on the globe, and that's what we see manifesting in the sexual revolution in America in the 1960s. Because America basically took over the role of the British Empire after World War II. The British Empire collapsed, and the American Empire took power. And you had this American Empire versus the Soviet Union emerging from the World War II, from the ashes of the war. Mm-hmm. And so that leads us to where we are now. You know, we're basically, you got diversity hires, you have trannies and women and children empowered over men, and it completely destroys the social structure of the United States. So that's kind of where I'm at on that.
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree with that totally. I just wanted to bring in the wars. Yeah, it's a great book, Tragedy and Hope, because it spells out totally what you're talking about, what the British Empire did and versus Germany and then South Africa, too. You know, they brought, even bringing in the Indians into South Africa and the conflict with the Boers. I have to get going, but it's a good show. I mean, I just look at the feminism and all that stuff as it's a side effect, you know, you could say, or a, Yeah, it's a side effect of having Jews run your society, like William was saying, you know, from World War One and World War Two.
And when the United States observed the collapse of the Soviet Union in the 1990s, the U.S. thought that it would be a unipower over the globe, a unipower over the globe. But when they installed Putin, and they thought that Putin would be another puppet, but instead, he took everything in another direction, benefiting the Russian people and jailing certain oligarchs and making alliances with other oligarchs that were in power. This was something that the United States didn't anticipate. The U.S. did not anticipate Russia becoming a world power or China becoming a world power, even though they, you know, pushed all of their production out to China. They thought China would be their sweatshop. But what happened was that China became, you know, a global power that is to be reckoned with. And now, you know, Jews in the United States are scrambling, trying to figure out how to deal with this whole Russia and China taking over in Eurasia and the U.S. becoming irrelevant. They're scrambling to try to deal with this. That's, I think, what we're witnessing right now.
I agree. It's just the Jews are just freaking out. You know, it's kind of a scary time. You know, it's like, are they going to start World War III or what? You know, but they're just kind of lashing out. You know, scary.
So in the past, Israel could do whatever it wanted to. You know, it could genocide Palestinians, could do whatever, but now not so much. So the international community led by China and Russia are going to eventually bring Israel to heel. And they're Israel is no longer going to have the United States at its back, you know, backing it up in these matters.
I hope so. I'm hoping I don't know. Someone said something earlier about Russia sending a couple ships, but it, you know, watching all these kids starving and the just slaughter. I mean, it couldn't work better in their favor for taking over power from the Zog Empire. You know, so I'm hoping that they like send a couple battleships or just start flying in food to Gaza or something. You know, and then see what happens. I don't know. Cool. Hopefully they do something.
You flash forward to this terrorist attack in Russia, you know, it was blamed on ISIS, but everybody knows, like, it's not even debatable. Like, everybody knows that ISIS is a creation of the American CIA and the Israeli Mossad. ISIS was created to overthrow the Syrian government, but that didn't happen. Russia backed the Syrian government and, you know, went on. And so that's why the United States came out very forcefully and said that ISIS was involved in this attack in Russia. You know, what they're basically saying is that the U.S. CIA and the Mossad did this attack on Russia because of what's going on in the Ukraine. So that's yeah, Mike, if we can skip the break, that would be great.
My friend, I talked to a Russian guy. He's not always right on his takes, but his take is that the captain of the ship was Ukrainian, but he's a Russian-Ukrainian. And that was kind of Putin's... He thinks Putin, that was kind of a message to America, like for the terror attack and stuff like that. So anyway, I got to get going, but have a great show, guys. Have a good night. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. William, let me kick it to you for your remarks on what Dan and I talked about.
Well, I mean, don't have any thoughts about it right now. I just I got a lot of thoughts about it, but they've all escaped me.
Well, you know, kind of what I was getting at is that you have this power shift from the American Empire to Russia and China, and the American Empire, as it goes down, is doing these last-ditch efforts to try to retain power. And so that's why I think that America and Russia, America and Israel, did this attack on Russia. This is their last-ditch effort. This is their, they're the rope, basically.
Right. It's a desperate move. I would say that, so Ukraine is broke. There's no longer a hot war there, right? Or they're finishing it up or whatever's going on there. I don't know. Yeah. I don't follow it every day. But now a terrorist attack. It's kind of like the sore loser move. They know they've lost.
It's a last-ditch effort. That's exactly what it is. It's a last-ditch effort of the American Empire before it goes down to attack Russia.
My question is, Jeremy, isn't the American Empire being deliberately brought down anyway? So who is, I would just be hard-pressed to believe that, the Jews are, panicking and afraid. It seems like this is more going along with their plan, possibly. I mean, I go back and forth on this, but I just don't hold a hard stance on, because it's hard to know the nature of this beast and how it is operating, and we're always trying to get one step ahead of it, and we're pretty good. I don't know anybody better at it than us, because we have the backdrop of all this history we've studied and discussed every single week and multiple times. But it's hard to read the situation properly and kind of see, because they have the dialectic that they live in, that they operate under. So what's your bigger picture take on it? I mean, do you really think Russia is not part of the whole thing?
What I would say that there are lower level Jews like Victoria Nuland and Anthony Blinken. Nuland and Blinken, and I know Nuland recently stepped down, but up until the point that she stepped down, Nuland and Blinken ran the U.S. right, and they're on their own sort of program, and they don't want to let go. But there's Jews over them that understand that, hey, the U.S. is going to collapse, and we're going to shift to Eurasia. This is going to happen. This is a thing. You need to shut up and color. Okay. And that's what they're telling Nuland and Blinken. I think that's why Victoria Nuland had to step down. She wasn't willing to do that. She wasn't willing to shut up and color. So they're like, well, you're gone. And that's what I'm getting at. This whole shift to Eurasia is that, Jews on the top side, your Rothschilds, your Jews that aren't in the public spectrum, they understand that we're going to shift this over. And all of their people under them are not accepting this. And so the people that don't accept this, they just get rid of them. They just push them out. And so you are going to see a shift to Eurasia. You are going to see a shift where Russia and China takes the lead in global economic politics. And you're going to see the Belt and Road Initiative, where Israel is a very important landmass. And this could explain, further the situation with Israel and Palestine. Will the landmass, the route, the physical route on the ground from Eurasia to Africa, will it go through Israel or will it go through Palestine? So this could explain why the whole Israel-Palestine thing is going on. Israel wants to control that route of trade, and they don't want the Palestinians to have any control over it.
I have a little question.
Yeah, go ahead.
when we think about will it be Israel or will it be Palestine, well, how will it be Palestine if there's no more Palestinians left? I don't know. It seems like they're completely wiping them out and wiping them off the map. I wonder what is the percentage. I have to look this up, but what is the percentage of population that's in Gaza versus the rest of Palestine? Because so much of Palestine has been just ethnic cleansed. The Jews have ethnic cleansed Palestinians.
That's the thing. You know, Israel recognizes that their landmass is going to be critical in the Belt and Road Initiative. In trade between Eurasia and Africa, Israel is right there in the middle. So they want to control the entire area of Palestine, and they want the Palestinians completely pushed out. They want to be in control of that. So I think that explains the Israel-Palestine genocide that we're seeing now. They're wanting to push them all out. Israel wants to be in total control of the entire area of what's called the Greater Israel, because the Greater Israel is going to be a critical landmass when you're talking about future trade between Eurasia and Africa.
Is there any other race in the world that wants total control over the entire planet?
No, I don't think there is.
Yeah, so you know, Jews are the crux of the problem of world peace. I mean, that's really, really the truth. So I gotta go back and pray on it. I figure out what, and I mean, mind you, there's a lot of Christians that go and they pray, and then they end up with the absolute wrong answer because they're so misled. And this is the other thing I wanted to say: we got Christians, they worship the Jews now; they don't worship Jesus Christ. And so, but I would like to know, and I don't know that I have a good enough relationship with God to get a real solid answer on it, because you know I haven't. You know, I'm not the best example of somebody who follows, you know, Christian principles all the time. I have my own stuff going on, but I would like to know, like, what is the right move ahead? I mean, right now I don't know what to do on an individual level, but hold strong to not giving an inch to any of this crap. I'm so angry with these people that do.
I'm trying to give you an insight into how these people think. You know, politically, geopolitically, Israel is the landmass that's going to be very critical. The area that's called the Greater Israel, that's going to be very critical.
The whole planet's the Greater Israel. They're just expanding it out from that little place over there.
But as Eurasia trades with Africa and goes back and forth, that area known as the Greater Israel, which is from the Mediterranean Sea up to Lebanon, over to Iraq and down into Jordan, that whole area is very, very critical as a landmass for trade. And since the United States is irrelevant now, and is being deconstructed, that area is becoming more prominent as Russia and China take global control and,
Right. They're now the new power brokers that have been put in charge. They're like lieutenants of Rothschild lieutenants.
And the U.S. empire is going to desperate measures to try to stop this, but it's unstoppable. It's unstoppable. That's the end of the show, by the way.
Dang. All right. More tomorrow, folks. Right. We'll see you on the Punch Bowl. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks a lot, William. USA Classic.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.